Matthew chapter number 6, and let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter number 6, and beginning at verse number 1, take heed, Matthew 6, 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now if you'll jump over, please, to verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward the openly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask the Lord that you would help us as we study these scriptures, preach through these scriptures this morning, that you'll stir within us, Lord, the desire, first of all, to be actively involved in these three great activities, but then, Lord, to always be aware of our motive and to understand that our Father sees in secret, the Father, our Father, sees the heart. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us not to just be, as the Bible says, the hypocrites were, but, Lord, that we would be real and we would be a sincere, Lord, in our Christian duty, in our Christian activity. Now, Lord, I've already been so blessed this morning. What a wonderful time you gave us during the Sunday school hour. And now, Lord, the song service, it's good to grip firmly the hands of my brothers and sisters in Christ and to begin and to be able to look them in the eye and to fellowship with them, and the strength that we draw one from another and encouragement. It's just good to be here today. Now bless our time as we study your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I would like to start the message by challenging you, by giving you an assignment. And that's, of course, always exciting, especially for the young people. They love assignments. And but let me just say this, I think that we probably need to spend more time studying the Bible than we already do. How many of you think that's probably true? I think that there has been some studies of the Bible that have helped me, probably at least in my estimation, as much as I can gauge this more than others, but I've never studied the Bible without being profited. And one of the, I think, most life-changing studies of the Bible that I have ever made was made when I was barely out of my teenage years, just about 19, 20, probably in that age bracket. But I was challenged as I read the Bible one day, and I was reading in Psalms chapter number 1, the very first psalm, "Blessed is the man." And you all know the psalm, and many of you could quote it. But I began to stop and not just read that, but outline it in my mind and think about it, and here God promises blessing. He says in the Bible, and this is exciting, he says in the Bible, in God's word, and that's what we call it, isn't it? So if God gives his word about something, you can count on it. Okay, so he promises to me that if I conduct myself in a certain manner, I will receive the blessings of God upon my life. And that got me curious. And it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." So I thought, well, there's three things that if I do what the Bible says, if I avoid those three situations, God will see that. He'll recognize it. He'll see that I make effort to avoid those situations. And as a result of that, He has promised to bless me. He is a God who keeps his promises. So I can cash in on the blessings of God and know that it's going to happen because he's promised it if I'll do what it says. And then all of a sudden that thought just took off in my mind. And I thought, you know what? This isn't the only place where God says, blessed is the man, or if you do this, you'll be blessed. And so I took the next several weeks and I looked up every verse in the Bible that had that little word blessed or blessed in it. And I wrote down in a notebook all of the things that God says in the Bible from Genesis 1:1 to the last verse in Revelation, everything that God said to do or not do to attain upon my life the blessings of Almighty God. And then I got to thinking when I got through that, that there was another word that's opposite of blessed in the Bible. The opposite of the word blessed is cursed or cursed. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to finish this study out because I need to do all of the things that I should do to receive the blessing of God, but I need to make sure that I'm not doing anything that might put myself in a place where God says in his word, by the way, there's many verses about this. God says, if you do this, or if you say this, or if you conduct yourself in this manner, then I will curse you. And so, you know, it's interesting because God doesn't, you know, he's not up in heaven saying, I'm not going to tell you how to get blessings. I'm not going to tell you how to get cursing. You're just going to have to go through life and through trial or error. And if I zap you, you'll know it was the wrong thing. And if I bless you, you'll know it was. He doesn't do that to us. He gave us a book. And he says, listen, I'm not going to sneak up on anybody. It's right here in black and white for you. If you want to live a blessed life, if you want to receive the blessings of God, and by the way, that doesn't mean that there's never a trial. That doesn't mean there's never a testing. That doesn't mean everything always goes right. But if you want to live under the blessings of God, and one man said, under the spout where the glory comes out, if you want to live your life there, then the Bible says there's certain ways to conduct ourselves, certain things to do. Now, of course, we're not going to do that study this morning. But I do want to preach a message that I've entitled the secret life of the blessed Christian, the secret life of the blessed Christian, the secret life of the blessed Christian. We're going to pass out, I think, this Wednesday night. We're going to try to get it done by Wednesday. I don't promise. I never know what's going to happen in the course of a week, but we're going to try to pass out to everyone that comes to church on Wednesday night a little prayer binder, and it's not thick. But it is for everyone that comes to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and it has everybody's name on it that attends Blessed Hope Baptist Church, or at least the membership and others that come regularly. And I'm praying we don't miss anybody. If I do, we're going to have places in the back. We can write people's names so we can always add to it. I got to thinking, I pray for you. Your pastor prays for you. I will promise you that. I pray for you. And I stand before the throne of grace, and probably as I'm praying through the church, I'm not talking about per family, I'm not talking about by family, I'm talking about by person. I can't tell you in that time frame while I'm praying how many times I say the word bless. Because almost the first thing that comes out of my mouth when I'm praying for the membership here, for you as an individual, is this: Lord, please bless them. Lord, please bless them. You know, I think that's maybe one of the sweetest things we could pray for each other. Lord, just bless them. Amen. Bless them. Now, I don't know what you need, but God does. I don't know what kind of blessing you need, but God knows. Amen. Lord, bless them today. And then, of course, I pray more specifically for the needs in your life that I know of. But you know something? The honest truth is you can pray for the Lord to bless me. But if I'm not living in a way where he can bless me, he won't bless me. Does that make sense to you? So let's talk about the secret life of the blessed Christian. And this is a wonderful portion of Scripture, and we're going to kind of preach through this and teach through this. Let me give you three characteristics of the blessed Christian. I'm talking about the person who, in their secret life, has attained the blessing of God. Let me give you these three characteristics of a blessed Christian. Number one, this blessed Christian cares not for the praise of men. Now let me say that again. This blessed Christian cares not for the praise of men. Now we see this taught in direct contrast in these verses to the Pharisees, to the scribes, whom God labeled as hypocrites, he says this. This is in direct contrast to the man or men whose motivation for service is to be seen of men and to receive the praise of men. Now that's something that's absolutely 100% taught in what we read this morning. Example number one. We are told in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, we are warned against this area of giving or the giving of alms and doing it in such a way where the main motive, the main purpose of our giving is to get somebody to pat us on the back, somebody to notice what we're doing, somebody to praise us so that we can be seen of men. Example one, a giver. This is amazing when you read these scripture, who sounds a trumpet, who makes sure everyone knows what he gives and when he gives it. Now, I want you just for a minute. I mean, that's hilarious to us, but apparently from what Jesus said, this was actually happening in his day. Now, I want you to imagine we're taking up the offering and we get about halfway back and all of a sudden, Brother Jeff Scales is getting ready to put his amount in, but before he gets the offering plate, right before it gets to him, he stands up, whips out a trumpet, blows the charge. Da-da-da-da-da-da! Everybody. And when everybody's looking at him, he goes, bling. That's crazy. But apparently that was happening in this day and age where some of these men were so concerned that people saw them, so worried that everyone saw, and that was the chief purpose, the chief motive behind almost everything that they did, was that somebody would notice it and see it and congratulate them or talk about them or pat them on the back. You've got to be careful about that. You see, the blessed Christian, he doesn't care about those things. Example number two, the man who prays, the Bible says, standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, and then we're told this about him, let me quote it, that they may be seen of men. Now let me say this, this portion of scripture is not preaching or teaching against public praying. It does encourage closet praying, and I think most of our praying should be closet praying. But as Brother Casper came and stood and I asked him publicly to lead us in prayer, he did not sin or did not do wrong in doing that. When I call in folks to pray, there's nothing sinful about it. What God is pointing out here is the motive behind the public prayer. These men strategically positioned themselves in front of large groups of people. We could go in other places in the Bible where it says that they gave out, they sent up to heaven, long, elaborate, wordy, showy prayers so that everybody that would go by would say, wow, look at that, what a great Christian that is. And God said this, they have their reward. They wanted to praise him in, they got to praise him in, that's their reward up in heaven. They get zilch. Nothing. That's it. They just got all they're going to get because they're doing it for the wrong reason. Example number three, the man who fasts. Now, what is fasting? Some of you may not understand this. This may be a new word to some of the Christians in the room today. What does it mean to fast? The word fast there talks about giving up for a period of time food or something else, some other desire of the flesh, but usually it's talking about food. Giving that up for a period of time so that you can spend time, extended time, in prayer and intercession and supplication before God. So sometimes people would choose not to, maybe for one meal or maybe one day or maybe even a longer period, decide that they're going to not eat but instead spend that time before God in prayer because they have a special need or a special request or they want to see God move in some miraculous way. By the way, that's a very biblical thing. We're going to talk about it. But these men looked at it as a sign of spirituality. These men took it upon themselves as a badge of spiritual honor. And so they would then fast and they would do the action. By the way, these men did give. These men did pray. These men did fast. But their motives were tainted. You see, what they did was they said, I'm going to fast. And they made sure the wife knew and the kids knew. And then before they went outside, we see that this example three is talking about the man who fasts, then walks around with a sad countenance, even going as far as to disfigure his face. And I think that meant just by the way the expression that he just walked around looking like he was in agony, you know, just looking like he was in agony, just agony. And until finally someone would say, "Are you okay?" "Well, yeah, I just have a burden. I've been fasting now." And so they could tell them that they were fasting. And so people would be impressed because, wow, what a spiritual giant. This man not only gives alms right after the trumpet's blown and prays on the street corner, sir, by here, but also fasts and makes sure everybody knows about it. Now, what the Bible's teaching us here is, listen, if you want to live a blessed life, if you want God to reward thee openly, then there's some things that ought to be done in secret. There's some things that ought to be done secretly. They ought to be done for the right motive. But here, this blessed man, he doesn't care for the praise of men. And by the way, it's an encouraging when somebody comes up and congratulates you or encourages you or pays you a compliment. You know what? But if that happens, it's just extra. It's just bonus. It's not the driving force behind what you're doing. Whether men say something good, you do the right thing. Whether men say something bad, you do the right thing. Whether people applaud, you do the right thing. Whether people boo you, you do the right thing. And a person who lives like that, God will reward them openly. Let me read some verses to you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. What an important word. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And boy, here in the book of Colossians, Paul is exhorting these new Christians. Listen, don't do what you do. Don't do the things you do for what he calls eye service, so that someone can watch you and you can do it for the sake of serving their gaze, of satisfying somebody who's watching you, doing it for the purpose of impressing someone who's watching you. He uses the word men pleasers. Not as men pleasers. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Sunday school teachers, you know what? Let me just help you with something. You're not always going to get everybody in your class to like you if you do the right thing and teach the right thing. You can't get in there saying, my goal and my purpose is to have everyone in this class just think I'm the greatest Christian in the world and love and adore me. Because what that will do is will keep you sometimes from teaching some things and saying some things that they need to hear. You know, a lot of times what we need to hear and what we want to hear is two different things. Mom and dad, listen to me. You can't always be your children's favorite person. They're not always going to be happy with your decisions. If they are, you're not making the right decisions a lot of the time. And so what we've got to decide is this. I want to make every decision and make sure that I'm doing the things that I do in my Christian service, my Christian duty, as unto God and not unto men. Let me read some other verses. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Again, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will during service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And this is the great motivation, if you will, for the right reason or the right motivation in your life is this. If we do it for the right reason, we'll be rewarded by God. If we do it for the wrong reason, whatever we applause or attention we get from men will be the extent of our reward. And so the blessed man says, I'm not going to live my Christian life just to try to get somebody to say something nice about me or whether I impress people or not. I want to do it as unto the Lord. I want to do it so that God is pleased. I want to do it in such a way that God's impressed. And folks, let me say this. God is much more impressed by what you do in secret than what you do publicly. Isn't that good? Let me read another series of scriptures to you, and this is wonderful. What a neat story in Matthew chapter 23. Be patient with me as I read just a few verses. Listen very carefully to the Bible as I read it. Then Jesus spake to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the border of their garments and love the uttermost rooms of at feasts and the chief priests in the synagogues and the greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. You know what God's saying there? We got to be so careful. Folks, there's a big, ugly, nasty word, and we're all infected to some extent with it. That word is pride, 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 pride. And all of us, if we're not careful, there's a part of us that likes somebody patting us on the back or giving us a round of applause or saying something about us. And by the way, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But if that becomes the motive of your service, the motive of your giving, your praying, your fasting, then you know what? You're going to remove yourself from that area of blessing and end up just getting whatever you can get from men as reward. So the characteristic of this blessed Christian, number one, he cares not for the praise of men. Number two, he does his Christian duty in secret. He does his Christian duty in secret. He gives secretly, he prays secretly, he fasts secretly. When he gives, the Bible says this, his left hand does not know what his right hand is doing. That's pretty amazing if you think about it. But God, I think, is using this as trying to get us to understand how careful we've got to be not to fall in the trap of doing things so that people can see it. He's saying, listen, try to even keep your giving secret to yourself. That's pretty amazing, isn't it, when you think about it? And when he prays, folks, he enters into his closet and pours out his heart before God. When he fasts, he anoints his head and washes his face, is what the scripture says. And what he does for God. What he does towards God. What he does not for temporal reward or for mortal praise. What he does for the most part in secret. Now look right up here and let me recapture your attention for a minute. The main challenge of this portion of Scripture for me, for you, the main challenge for us to live up to is simply this. Everything that we do, we ought to do unto God. And you know what? What I am in secret matters. What I am when no one is around matters. What I say when I'm outside the church is as important as what I say inside the church. What I say amongst Christian brothers just as important as what I would say out amongst the heathen. When nobody's around, who you really are comes out. And God says, I'm a God that sees in secret and rewards openly. Number three, which brings us to our third characteristic. Now what about this blessed Christian, Brother Jerry? He cares not for the praise of men. He does his Christian duty in secret, and because of that, he is openly rewarded by God. This man lives a blessed life. God rewards him openly because he serves in secret. God blesses him before all because he prays in seclusion. God gives him answers to prayer, this kind that only comes through prayer and fasting, because he fasts and when he fasts and prays, it is towards God for someone in need and not to put on a show or receive the praise of man. Boy, isn't this good for us today? Now, just for a few minutes, and I will take a very short amount of time, but I want to highlight these three areas where God says, if you learn to live the blessed life and do these three activities in secret, God will reward you openly. Now, let me for just a minute defend the Pharisees. Can I just defend them for just a minute? And boy, I'll tell you what, it's paining me to do it. But let me defend them for a minute. They did give. They did pray. They did fast. Their rewards were limited, but at least they did it. Would that place them above or below someone who had right motive but didn't give, didn't pray, or didn't fast? And so for a minute, let's just look at these three areas, because it's not just a matter of, Brother Jerry, if I want to live the blessed life, then I've got to make sure I have the right motive. You do, but you also have to do the right thing. And so the secret life, let's talk a few minutes about the secret life of giving. The secret life of giving. And you say, oh, we've been hearing this for a month. Amen. 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 By the way, let me just say this. Thank you, church, for the encouragement you have been to me and Pastor Ross during the teaching of these series. I was talking to Dad before he left, and he said, what kind of response have you gotten? I said, overwhelmingly positive and thankful. Now, that's just because they're not going to say the mean things to your face. I understand that. But, oh, I mean, thank you, church, for coming to your pastor and saying thank you. We needed this. This is helping us. We're going to go forward in this. Pray for us. And I promise you, I have and I will continue. Bless your hearts. Amen. But there is a wonderful, wonderful secret to blessing. And that secret, I think, starts in this matter of giving. The secret life of giving. Let me encourage you just quickly. Decide that in 2007, I don't care what you've done up to this day. Decide in 2007 that you're going to tithe. Not for faulty reason, not for faulty motive, but just you're going to do it because you know what? God asks you to do it. God sees whether you do it or not. And God promises if you'll do it with the right motive, He will bless you openly. Let me encourage you to do this. Keep giving to the building fund. Just keep giving to the building fund. Commit to give to the building fund. I almost said this tonight, and I'm not going to, so I'm going to say it now. You know the three arrows I taught you as far as putting into the box? Then there's three arrows that come out. I almost want to take that giving arrow that comes out and put it up there with what helps fill the box. Because I will promise you this. You will never outgive God. You will not outgive God. Brother Jerry, is that a scriptural statement? Absolutely. Let me read some verses to you. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that you met with all, it shall be measured to you again. Let me read these verses. And I say unto you, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, according every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Every good work. Now there may be one or two, and by the way, give to missions. We're going to start Missions Emphasis Month. I'll tell you, one of the funnest times I have during the entire week is the time I have scheduled to purposely go back to Missionary Hall and to walk up and down and put my hand, those of you that have to do the glass, it's my fault, I try to keep it off the glass, but I want to put my hand on the box. I want to pray for those missionaries. I look at every one of those and think, I have a part in what you are doing on the field. I get to help you do it. What a blessing that is. I say, well, Brother Jerry, I don't know about preachers that talk about money. Well, let me read this to you. Jesus talked about money. 1/6 of the Gospels and 1/3 of the parables address the subject of stewardship. Jesus was no fundraiser. By the way, neither am I. He dealt with money matters, however, because money matters. It's a surprise to many people, Christians included, that the Bible has so much to say about this subject. God has given us three ways on earth to invest in eternity. Two of them are up for discussion, and when we approach them with open-mindedness, we can never seem to hear enough about them, but the third seems to be nobody else's business. The preacher who fails to address time, and how we spend it is considered derelict in his duty, for time is one of those values in life you can spend only once and never capture again. The pastor who overlooks teaching on talents and gifts that help the church body function smoothly and well and even efficiently is not doing his job. The congregation has a right to feel slighted because the subject is not mentioned. But let the man address the subject of treasure, and he's back on that aged-old subject and just trying to get our money. I find that not only amazing but ridiculous. I read that and clipped it out and said, Amen. Amen. You see, folks, I want you to live a blessed life. I want you to understand that there is a secret way of living that allows you to be in a position where God can bless you openly and publicly, and that secret area involves the giving of alms. Let me talk to you about subject number two, or area number two, the secret life of the blessed Christian, the secret life of giving, the secret life of praying, the secret life of praying. One minister mentioned in his message the importance of mothers praying for their children. Preachers sometimes mention that. At the back door, one boy said this to the preacher as he was going out with his mother beside him. From my bedroom, I can hear my mother pray for me every night. The preacher says, what does she pray? She says, thank God he's finally in bed. Out of the mouth of babes. Be careful. Have your children ever said something to the preacher that embarrassed you a little bit? I like this. A little girl was asked by her mother to pray at dinner in front of a large number of guests that had come over for the evening. And the mother said, why don't you pray? And she said, well, I'm not sure what to say. She was embarrassed because so many guests were there. And she said, I don't know what to say. And her dad said, well, why don't you just pray what you hear your mother pray? So the little girl bows her head and says, Lord, why did my husband have to invite all these people over tonight? I guess that's what she heard her mama pray that morning. The secret life of praying. Praying. Let me share something with you, and I don't have to tell you that do it, but closet Christians, closet praying Christians, watch them. They live a blessed life. Many, many times they're openly, publicly blessed by God. Should we doubt that prayer is necessary? Should we doubt that the Bible teaches us to pray? 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Men, one of the greatest things that you can do. It's interesting that God directed this command to men. Now, ladies, let me say this. We need your prayers. Where would we be without the prayers of godly women? But it's interesting that God said the front line of prayer in the church ought to be men praying, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And you get me a group of men in a church who are prayer warriors, and I'll tell you what, you'll see something happen in that church. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Boy, there's people all over the room that could stand up and testify and say, I can tell you how that's been true in my life this year. Luke 22:46, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days, and he went out, speaking of Jesus, into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. Mark 14:38, watch ye and pray lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 9:38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Folks, we ought to pray. Howard Taylor, the son of Hudson Taylor, the great Chinese missionary to China. Howard Taylor, the son of Hudson Taylor, said this of his father. For 40 years, the sun never rose on China that God didn't find my father on his knees. Whew. Jim Elliot said this, God is still on his throne and we're still his footstool. And there's only a knees difference between the two. That's good. He also said this, the saint who advances on his knees never retreats. Amen. Amen. Now we've got cell phones in our family. I'm not sure yet if it's a blessing or a curse. I'm still praying about that. We got the cell phone bill the other day. I'm going to be kind here. I'm going to be nice. You know what's interesting? Not only is my minutes that I spend on that phone logged on there, total minutes, summary sheet, Jerry Ross, number of minutes. My wife's is on there. Hannah's, God help me, Hannah's is on there. And she's usually very good, isn't she? But last month, I'm going to send this tape to her. Last month, I mean, good night, she had to come home and spend almost 3.5 weeks away from, what's his name? Crypto. That's what I call him, Crypto. From Crypto. So what is her normal number of minutes for December? And by the way, they're with the same carrier, so I didn't get charged for this. I mean, I wasn't charged extra. I was just amazed at the minutes. Her number, her regular number of minutes had tripled in December. Tripled. I mean, it was like, my wife doesn't talk much on the cell phone. It was probably, I don't have any idea, 5, 6, 7, 8 times what my wife's minutes were. So I got on the phone to her last night, and I was giving her the dickens, and I was having a good time doing it. She's like, Dad, but they're free. I said, I know they're free, but we figured this up. We know how many days that you spent on the phone. If you add them all up and divide it, days you spent. We know how many average hours per day, average hours per... Well, Dad, but I didn't get a scene for a while. Oh, please, just get married, girl. And you know what's funny? When they do, they won't talk. There's something wrong with this. Wow. I'm in my office and I'm thinking about this as I'm preparing the message, thinking about giving her a hard time, and I thought, wait a minute. What? This is what God said to me. But Jerry, what if every member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church got a prayer phone bill and it had on there the minutes last month that you talked to me? Wow. I had more fun picking on Gerald a second ago. Wait a minute, God, I'm getting under conviction here. Wait a minute, church. What if God just sent us a Blessed Hope Baptist Church prayer phone report? Aren't you glad he doesn't? Amen. And we could just go down through the membership, and there God logged the minutes during the month of December that we prayed, not just for one another, prayed period. What would our prayer phone bill say? Now, why are you bringing this up, Brother Jerry? I'm not trying to put us on a guilt trip. What I'm trying to do is say, folks, listen to me. If anything divine and eternal is going to happen through this church in 2007, it will be empowered by the prayers of God's people. And John R. Rice had it right when he said, our greatest failure, Brother Derek, is prayer failures. Are you thinking about this, ladies? Are you thinking about this, men? What if all of us just decided we'd look at the minutes that we had on our cell phone and say, you know what? I'm not going to talk on a cell phone more a month than I am going to talk to God in a month. Maybe we ought to hang that thing up and go find our prayer closet. Instead of calling, you know, your girlfriend and jabbering about something for 30 minutes, why don't you go talk to God about it for 30 minutes? I'm trying to help us here. We've got to get back to Christians in the local church, finding a prayer closet and finding out that what you do in secret, God rewards openly. That's part of the blessed life. Isn't that good? Let me talk to you about this last one because it's fascinating and we'll be done. The secret life of fasting. Fasting. We don't preach much on this. Probably ought to. The secret life of fasting. 39 times in the New Testament, you'll find the word fast or fasting. That's a lot. I think God wants us to know something about it. By the way, 6 times in the book of Acts, you'll find fasting mentioned. Brother Joe, we always want to go back and see the results of Acts, but we don't do what they did in the book of Acts. Are you listening to me, church? I'm talking about the secret life here, folks. I'm not talking about what you do up here on the platform or what you do in front of your classroom or what you do down in the school when all the students are watching. I'm talking about the secret life. We've got to look at our secret life. And the secret life of the blessed person involves giving, and it involves prayer, and I believe it involves fasting. Let me read some verses to you. This is an amazing story out of Matthew chapter 17. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, and oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Watch this. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, you know, we read that verse and we don't believe that. But that verse doesn't stop there. There's a qualification there. There's a qualifying statement. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Folks, let me share this with you. Share my heart for 120 seconds, then we'll pray. Listen, look right up here and just let me have you for 2 minutes and we'll pray. In 2007, I want to see miracles at Blessed Oak Baptist Church.
Amen.
I want to see miracles. I stumbled across a wonderful verse in the book of Acts where it says that special miracles were wrought. You know, there's miracles, and sometimes there's special miracles. There's people in this room, and you need, I know it, and I'm praying, and I'm fasting for you and praying. You need a miracle in an area of your life. I promise you, your preacher's right with you. I promise you, I'm right with you. But if I'm going to see miracles, if I want to see this kind of answers, are you hungry for a miracle? Then I'm going to have to not just pray, but I'm going to have to fast. By the way, fasting, it can be just deciding you're going to skip one meal a day. Just lunch, I'm not going to take lunch. I'm going to fast for that one meal. Fasting could be a day. Some people do it 24 hours where maybe they'll eat supper. 24 hours later, they'll eat another supper. That's a full day, 24 hours. If you fast an entire calendar day, you've actually fasted a day and a half because you go from supper, don't eat anything the whole next day, to breakfast. So you can go breakfast, lunch. What I'm just saying is, would you consider this Bible doctrine? Would you say, Brother Jerry, I have something that I need in my life, a miracle in some area, and I've prayed about it, and I'm not seeing God do anything about it. I'm telling you, folks, listen to me. We can criticize the Pharisees all they want, and they are deserving of the criticism, but at least they did it. Now, I'm giving you a great secret here. You want to talk about the secret life? I don't understand why that's that person's, why the blessing? Why are they always, just seems like that person. Well, folks, you can watch them all the time and you're not going to figure out why. You know why? Because the reason is never public. The reason's always secret. Secret. The secret life of the blessed Christian. Heavenly Father, thank you for just allowing us to look in the Scriptures and gain, Lord, some wisdom from what you have to teach us this morning. Lord, if Blessed Hope Baptist Church is going to see miracles in 2007, the community will never see the reason why. The community will never see the reason why. Because the open rewards from a gracious God comes in response to what is done in our life secretly, in secret. So I pray, God, that you'd help us. Lord, as I studied this, you know how my heart was dealt with. You know how I was challenged. You know the decisions that I've made. And Lord, I want to follow through with those things. Help me to be, Lord, for you in secret, real and genuine. Help me to do the things that I ought to do, Lord, so that I can see blessings and miracles, not just for me, but for the many, many people whom I lift up to heaven each and every day. Please, God, please help us to be what we ought to be in secret. Bless the invitation. there be one here today that's not saved. Lord, giving doesn't get you to heaven. Praying doesn't get you to heaven. And fasting doesn't get you to heaven. The only thing that can get a person to heaven is to come under conviction of sin, realizing that they're lost, and having the gospel explained to them, meeting Jesus Christ who died on the cross, was buried, and rose again for the sins of the whole world. I pray if there'd be someone here that's not saved, they don't know about eternity, they don't know what would happen if they were to die, that, Lord, you would allow this invitation to be a time where their heart is pricked and encouraged to come forward so that we can help them today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.